It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
We are two wild and crazy guys
on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Monday. Happy Martin Luther King Day to all those of you out there. Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas with you. Well, this is it's a holiday, so a lot of times that means schools are shut down, but that didn't stop Bob Scott, superintendent at Avon Lake, from coming in and joining us here in studio. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, Andy. Great day.
It's great to have you here in studio, and you know, we're going to talk momentarily about the screening of screenagers here in just a few moments. I know that's originally what we brought you in for, but you know, when you arrived today about 15, 20 minutes ago, we sat down, we got to talking about a wide variety of different topics, and we stumbled on, you know, the whole decision-making process when it comes to this inclement weather, which we've all experienced the last few days. And I think I had asked you, you know, when a snowstorm hits on Saturday night, like this most recent one did, you breathe a sigh of relief knowing that you didn't really have to make a decision because it happened on a non-school day. And then you kind of gave us the inside scoop as to not only what you do, but you said you all get together with the superintendents of the Lorain County and the Western Cuyahoga County school systems as well, and you kind of sometimes come together to make a collaborative decision.
You know, it's one of those sciences that is imperfect at best. You know, Mother Nature is Mother Nature, and a lot of it comes down to what you talked about at the very beginning. It's timing. And for us, it's a matter of keeping our kids as safe as we possibly can and still have school. You know, we want kids to be in school as much as they possibly can. You know, we want it to be safe. You know, we know it's an inconvenience for parents a lot of times if they have to make arrangements to stay home with their kids, you know, during the week. You know, so we really look at it and take it very, very seriously. But it's all about timing. And this weekend, to begin with, it was, you know, a lot of sad kids out there because they feel like it was just an opportunity lost for a snow day. And it was. I saw a group this morning. I was over at First Watch with my family in Westlake, and there were two groups of tables of Avon Lake kids. And it's like, oh, Mr. Scott. You know, I'm going, guys, I'm sorry. You know, it just didn't happen at the right time.
And you know what? If it's good enough for them to be out there at First Watch, then it's good enough for them to go to school.
That's exactly right, and you know, and that's that piece that we always work with. And like you said, it's if it is inclement weather, whether it's snow or whether it's the cold, you know, we really start, like we talked, my crews, if it's snow, we actually start on our campuses at about 2 a.m. You know, most of the superintendents in the county and the west side of Cuyahoga County are up at about 4 a.m. You know, and we're out on the roads and we're looking at the weather forecasts and really trying to make the best decision we can to keep the kids safe and to be in school as much as we possibly can. So it's not easy.
Sure.
So you guys actually get out and you drive around. So it's not like you're just taking a look at the weather forecast like everybody else. You guys are out there experiencing the road conditions and you've got a firsthand look as to just how safe it might be or how dangerous it might be.
Oh, exactly right. And all of us use two or three different weather sites, and that's part of the reason why we communicate with all the different superintendents in the county and on the west side. And a lot of times, depending on from what direction the storm's coming in, you know, we get even a little, you know, on-the-ground insight of what's coming that's even better than the weather apps that we use. And then we're out, you know, mostly just to stay in, I think, a lot more when it's cold out. You know, I will actually get out and walk, you know, from my house down to the bus stop.
Okay.
And I'll stand there and I'll have my hat on and my coat on just like the kids are. You know, and it can be a 10 to 15 minute wait for a bus to get there, depending on if everybody's on time. And you know, it really is. It has to be practical and realistic at some time. And it's things that you can't necessarily see on a weather site.
Well. And I think it's interesting, too, and I'll give you a chance here to explain this. It's a collaborative effort. It's not just, you know, you as the superintendent. You're communicating also with the police department. You're communicating with the roads crew or the service department that were sending the plow trucks out there as well. So there are a lot of different hands in this.
And it's also a little different for each community. You know, my first call is, you know, our guys get out, and I have a great crew. that run our plow trucks on all the campuses. You know, my first call is always to Bruce Kaufman, who's our head guy, and it's like, Bruce, are we going to be able to get the campuses clear? You know, when we've got seven campuses and a lot of roads and a lot of parking lots that we have to plow and salt, if he says, yeah, I think we're in good shape, then you start making the calls to the police department. You start making the calls to the city. You know, how's it looking out on the roads as they're going forward? Avon Lake, we're very lucky. It's flat, and it's mostly city streets. You know, so, and we've got a great city crew that gets out and gets things, you know, salted and plowed. And it is collaborative. You know, it's a lot of different pieces in place. You know, the Department of Homeland Security has actually put in a nice piece now that we get updates that if there's weather advisories, mm-hmm. they come on our cell phones. And as soon as they come up, they pop up on our phones. So we know what's going on.
Huh. Very good stuff. Well, hopefully you don't have to make a decision tomorrow morning when the kids go back to school. Mother Nature decides to cooperate just a bit, because tomorrow night you've got the screening of this movie, Screenagers. Now, before we get into the process of what all's going on before, during, and after the screening, for those that don't know what this movie, Screenagers, is about, can you explain that?
You know, and I think everybody is aware at this time. Our kids are different than when we grew up. You know, we did not grow up with smartphones and as many computers as we have now and tablets. You know, kids spend large amounts of time at home and at school looking at some sort of screen, whether it's a smartphone or whether it's a tablet. How to handle that and how to have kids make good decisions and families come together and make good decisions on how much screen time is appropriate is huge nowadays. You know, it's you know, and part of it's difficult because most of our parents aren't natives to this, and that's an educational term, but it's a term you hear lots of places now, that you have to be a certain age to be a digital native. You know, and we have a large group of kids that are in school now that they were actually born with this stuff. You know, I've got one of my grandkids is in second grade right now, and you know, she, from the time she was out, if she started crying, her mom would hand her phone over to her that had something that was playing on it. I mean, she learned to touch and swipe probably before sure. almost anything else happened. I mean, they are digital natives, and we are not. And we need to spend a lot of time with them making sure that they use it appropriately. But we also, and this is part of the reason why we're bringing Screenagers in, is help the parents understand what the mind process is, you know, what it's like doing this, and how to have good conversations with their kids on how to use it appropriately.
This is a fascinating subject. I mean, you bring that up. I was out to dinner with my friends on Saturday night, and I've got two little ones. And the other one, my oldest, is about 3.5. And it's amazing. She knows how to work a smartphone almost better than I did. I've tried to hide the YouTube app and everything from her, and she finds a way to find it. And hey, there's always an ongoing debate between me and my wife exactly how much time she should have. And I know it's not good, but sometimes with the other one running around, it's the babysitter, unfortunately, that kind of keeps her locked in place while I go chase down the other one. So, I mean, it is a fascinating topic here, and it's fascinating to hear these types of things going on.
And it's not going to end, yeah. You know. It's not going to end. You know, the technology that we have today, it's going to change, but it's always going to be available to everybody in our society, and it's part of what we do as schools, and it's part of what we need to do as society, is figure out the appropriate use for that technology so that it can be used to sure. its best advantage. And there's always that personal piece to it, you know, that piece of how does it affect a person personally and how does it affect them societally. And just like anything else, there's good and bad, you know, and it's neither, it's yeah, not all of doubt. Both, you know, one way or the other, it is good and bad. And we just need to figure out how to handle it.
Sure.
Everything in moderation, right? Everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. Bob Scott, Avon Lake Superintendent, joining us here in studio today on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking about tomorrow's screening of the movie Screenagers. Now, this is a relatively short film, correct?
It's about an hour.
About an hour, okay.
It's about an hour. The film itself, I think, is 68 minutes, if I remember right. And then we have a panel discussion that will happen afterwards that we've got medical professionals that'll be there. We've got teachers. We've got students. I'll be on the panel. You know, so it's great, the screening. There's lots of good things in the movie itself. you know, we're really hoping that we have a good, healthy conversation afterwards about some of the things people see so they can ask questions. And for us, a lot of it is, you know, we want to hear from the kids. We want to hear the kids that are going to be on the panel and you know, hear how they feel about these things. And, you know, they don't necessarily want to hear Mr. Scott talk about all this stuff because, you know, if it was up to me, I would try to do anything I could to make it right for everybody. But if we don't have the parents on board, the kids on board, it goes south quickly.
Now, is this an environment you're looking to make somewhat conversational? You kind of want to open the eyes to both the parents and the kids when they see this to kind of start that dialogue to get them on the same page?
And I think there's two pieces to that. Is you're exactly right on the first one. We want to help everybody have a basis for a conversation. And as a school, we can't do this just seeing the kids at school for the 7 or 8 hours that we have them every day. You know, we've got to have the parents' help, the community's help on that appropriate use side. The other piece of it is it can't be a one-time thing. You know, we're going to try to keep coming back and giving opportunities for parents and kids to have these conversations because it's ongoing. You know, and at every point along a kid's life, it changes. Because as they get older, you know, there's one way that you're going to need to talk to a fourth or fifth grader. You know, there's another way that you're going to have to talk to a middle schooler. There's another way you're going to have to talk to a high schooler or a young adult. Mm-hmm. And even in that instance, you know, there's different ways you need to talk to them, whether they're a freshman or whether they're a senior and they're going off to college. It needs to be an ongoing conversation, and we need to have everybody involved.
Understood. And I think the more those that don't really unlock the screening capabilities, for lack of a better term, I think the more they see that, I think the more it opens their eyes to what's going on behind the scenes. Because I think it's easy to sit back in the corner and play the old man and say, these doggone kids are looking on their phones too much. There's a whole new world out there on the phone or on the computer that I think you might not normally see. Whereas from the other end of that spectrum, you know, if you're a kid that's always on their phone, I think people think, you know what, you're not looking up at the real world enough. So it's always nice to start that conversation just to see what you might be missing if you're too one-sided on this topic.
Well, and I think that's what's important about having a movie like Screenagers out there to be the basis for that conversation. Because some of the things that you just talked about are exactly what is in the movie. And they use real-life situations you know, Delaney Rustin, she's actually an MD, she's a doctor who also has and I believe it's a degree in film as she came up through school and does these kinds of movies. This is not her first one, and a lot of this came from her with her own family and dealing with kids and figuring out how to use these kinds of things. You know, it's an interesting piece as you're going on because it's, you know, how do you have that conversation and, you know, what is too much? And is too much might be something for your child that's different than somebody else's. And is it cell phone use? Is it gaming? Is it online? It really talks about all the different aspects. It's not just, you know, a lot of people want to say, oh, it's smartphones and we need to do something with smartphones. It's screen time. You know, it's right now, and this will come out in the movie, is kids today spend about 6.5 hours a day looking at some sort of screen.
Wow.
And you know, and that's an average, of course, that's out there. Some are more, some are less. You know, they spend, you know, and that average, and this is probably a two-year-old study that's in there, the kids spend about 1.5 hours a day playing video games. Wow. And they talk about all those different things. And it's how you as a family, how can you look at how does that affect your kids? And then the big piece is how can you actually work with your kids and make sure that, okay, we, like you said, you can't take it all away. You know, that's not the way the world is today. You know, I think every parent out there, and whether it's you're my age or any age out there with your kids, there are things that you would like to say, okay, we're going to move them over here and they're never going to be exposed and never have to deal with any of that in their whole life because we can wall them off. And that's not the reality of life. So what we really want to do here is get those parents talking and get them looking and give them opportunities to talk with their kids. And if there need to be boundaries, two pieces is. The first discussion is just self-control.
Mm-hmm.
you know, working with your kids and saying, listen, you know, we need to have some self-control here. You know, what we would really like to do is, okay, you've got your smartphone or you've got your video games and, you know, you come home and you play for a half hour and then you put it up and you go do your homework and you eat and you actually sit and look at us and talk with us and have a conversation at the table and oh, that's really good. And you've got your smartphone and you use it appropriately and the right amount of time and it's all regulated by you. Hmm. And again, that doesn't always happen. These are kids.
Yeah.
You know, they are 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 years old. So the next part of the conversation is, so how as an adult, do you sit down and talk with your kids? And it could be over to the side, well, you need to start parenting and you need to tell your kids that, okay, you can come home and be on the gaming for an hour and then we're going to shut it off. And now we're going to go do this and actually put those limits, and even to the point where I know some that you can actually go out and buy apps that will shut the phone off or shut the computer off after so much screen time, and the kids know that, and it shuts off, and you move on.
Sure. Do you think some of that kind of plays into it, too, with the fact that we're kind of in the first generation where, I mean, I played video games as a kid, and I still, on occasion, will dabble in video games and all as well. And parents are the ones, as you mentioned, I mean, now who've grown up with a cell phone available from middle school, maybe high school, so it kind of rubs off on the children. It's kind of a learning process, I feel, for everyone, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and that's that hard piece of the puzzle. You know, that learning process of being engaged with your kids and being aware of not just screen time, and part of what will come out in the screen ager is, you know, okay, what exactly is going on in that screen time? You know, and it talks about everything from, you know, the stuff that we, of course, deal with a lot in school is social media and, you know, who's communicating with who and whether it's Instagram, Snapchat, you know, and is it all appropriate and how does it affect school? Good conversations go on about that. You know, the particular piece in here is one that you hear about a lot is that, you know, a young lady took a picture of herself and it was not an appropriate picture and thought she was sending it to somebody who, you know, she could trust, and it turned out it was not somebody she could trust, and it ends up getting disseminated. And of course, it's devastating, and part of this is how the young lady and her mom end up working through that piece. You know, so there's lots of really good discussions in this about situations that do happen, you know, in real life situations all the time. You know, there's a whole chapter and there's a lot of questions on this about the gaming piece and you know, and the violence in a lot of the games that kids play, you know, and how does that affect them and how does it affect us in society in general? You know, as a lot of those first shooter games, and are you really numbing people to violence through games they're playing? So it'll be a very interesting discussion have.
Yeah, that's all very interesting. The thing that struck me there was you mentioned, you know, about 6 hours a day of screen time. That's a quarter of your day that's reserved for screen time. That's wild to me. Bob, before we let you go, my friend, we got for our listeners out there that are wondering, you know, about all the details for tomorrow, where and when and for who exactly is this intended for?
It's for everybody. You know, we're putting a lot out, and of course, we want parents and their kids to come. We love them to watch it together and be part of the discussion we're going to have after at 7 p.m. at Avon Lake High School Performing Arts Center. You know, and everybody's welcome, not just the parents and kids, but anybody in the community that wants to come watch. And then we'd want everybody to really stay and be involved with the panel discussion because we feel like, you know, especially as a school, it will give us an opportunity to sort of listen and see where we can tweak things inside our buildings, you know, to make things, you know, not necessarily easier, but, you know, to at least for us to have those conversations that are sometimes difficult with kids every day.
Very good stuff. Well, one discussion that's never difficult is one we have with you, my friend. Boy, we cover a lot of topics, talking about the Cavs, your meeting with Gina Davis the last time we had
you. That's exactly right.
Now, of course, screenagers, we certainly cover a lot of ground. Bob, this is a lot of fun, as always. Thank you for the time.
Andy, thank you very much. It's always great to be here, and I really appreciate it. And the rest of the superintendents and the rest of the school districts in Lorain County really appreciate the time that you spend on school and kids. It's a great help.
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate you coming here in studio. Certainly appreciate the time, and especially for coming in on a day where you didn't have to be here. See, people have this misconception that, you know, just because school's closed, that doesn't mean the superintendent gets the day off, right?
That's exactly right. It's one of those 24/7 jobs.
Absolutely. Bob, thanks again.
Thank you.
Again, make sure to check it out tomorrow if you are interested. 7 o'clock, Avon Lake Performing Arts Center at the high school, the screening of Screenagers. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I will come back for the final 25 minutes of today's show here on AM 930 WEOL.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Voice-activated smart assistants continue to be all the rage. Pandora has just launched one that allows users to call up music on the service's mobile app using verbal commands. It's been rolled out to select listeners on iOS and Android, with wider availability coming soon.